morning. I got to look at you all, see who's here. Hello, 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 hello. And hello to you online as well. I'm Reverend Nicole Riley. I'm your guest preacher while your pastors are off. Oh. Thank you. It is always great to be with you. Your pastors are off having a wonderful vacation. If you follow them on social media, you will see that they are enjoying themselves. And so it is good to be with you as always. We are doing a summer playlist, and I love having a summer playlist. I love music, so I love listening to songs, and some songs just evoke different things, don't they? We are looking at some themes through this summer, and I have the theme of wonder, and there are so many worship songs that are about wonder. There's so many. Yeah, traditional songs like How Great Thou Art, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, All Creatures of Our God and King. And then for more modern song, things like God of Wonders and Beautiful Things and Break Every Chain, and one of my favorites, which we'll hear later, So Will I. You know, I think as adults, we kind of forget about wonder, right? We're busy. We got things to do. You got a checklist. Wonder is seldom on our checklist. Kids, though, kids know all about wonder, don't they? Right? If you have ever hung out with children, you know that they are all about the little things and how wonderful they are. You know, I'm on Reels a lot on TikTok and Facebook, and there's a lot of Reels around, you know, children trying ice cream for the first time or pizza for the first time, right? And how excited they get. I remember when my son was little and I got so tired of taking him on a walk because it would take 30 minutes to go a block. Because every little stick, every little rock, every little flower, you know, he had to pick up and put it in his little treasure bag. Kids love wonder. And we as adults, we just kind of fall away from it. So my goal today is to help us reclaim some wonder, to help us embrace how wonder is a spiritual practice and how wonder really helps us in our lives. It makes us bigger and better people. You know, wonder is one of those practices that we may not be familiar with, but we're usually familiar with its kind of sister practice, which is gratitude. So in today's world, you can buy yourself a gratitude journal where you write down things you're grateful for. It's a great spiritual practice. Creating a wonder practice, though, which I'm going to help us do today, is kind of like that, but on steroids, okay? So it kind of turns that up to 11. And one of the reasons that I want us to have more wonder in our life is because it's actually really good for us. Harvard Business Review says that feelings of wonder and awe are associated with lower stress levels. Wonder decreases that internal chatter we have, pushes us toward creativity, opens us up to new ways of thinking. It stimulates our mind toward creativity. So as we talk about wonder today, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to share with you three areas for wonder, and then we're going to look at wonder practices. Now, the three areas for wonder, the first one I'm sure you already know really well, and that's the wonder of creation. And then we're going to talk about the wonder of the human mind, and then we'll finish up by talking about the wonder of relationships. So we're going to start with the wonder of creation and with our scripture today. This is Psalm 65. I'm going to start with verse 6, and this is the Message translation. Oh, visit the earth. Ask her to join the dance. Deck her out in spring showers. Fill the God rivers with living water. Paint the wheat fields golden. Creation was made for this. Drench the plowed fields, soak the dirt clods with rainfall as harrow and rake. bring her to blossom and fruit. Snow crown the peaks with splendor. Scatter rose petals down your paths. All through the wild meadows, rose petals. Set the hills to dancing. Dress the canyon walls with live sheep, a drape of flocks across the valley. Let them shout and shout and shout. Oh, oh, let them sing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I mean, that's a great text. You can see it in your mind. It kind of comes alive in your mind. Deck the earth out in spring showers. Fill the rivers with living water. Paint the wheat fields golden. Can't you just see that in your mind? There is so much about creation that causes us to wonder, and that's why we're going to start here. I think whenever we talk about wonder, we have to start here with the glory of creation, because we have all experienced wonder around creation. I'm going to guess right now, if I asked you to take out your phone, you could find a sunset that you took a picture of, right? You were experiencing it, and it was beautiful, and it was amazing, and you thought, I have got to capture this. This might have been at the beach, maybe when you went to Maui on vacation, maybe just up here in the mountains when you saw the sunsets here. And if it wasn't the sunset that caused you to pause and wonder, maybe it was the stars at night and their glow and beauty. I grew up with a son who always loved the moon, and so he and I would always sit in the backyard at night and look at the moon together. I don't know if you've seen the moon this last week, but it's been pretty amazing. It causes you to just pause and to wonder at the glory of God's creation. I mean, who of us has not stopped dead in our tracks when we have seen something that's just caused us to just step back in awe? Might be the diversity of animals or plants or flowers or mountains or streams. The world is a beautiful place. Did you know? A study in 2015 said that there are actually positive changes that happen in our brains when we walk outside for 90 minutes. So the treadmill doesn't count, the gym doesn't count, we have to actually get outside. Researchers find that part of our brain that does the rumination actually is decreased when we spend time in nature. Did you know that green spaces around your home increase your life expectancy, an average of 2.5 years? Northwestern University says that people who have more access to nature age more slowly. So forget the Botox and the fillers, just get outside. Now, I am a gardener, and I have been a gardener who's grown roses my whole life. These are some of my roses on the screen, actually. And I am still always so startled by how beautiful that first bloom is on the rose bushes. And every spring, I look forward to opening the window in my office and smelling the lilac bush, the white lilac bush that's outside my window. You know, lilacs aren't supposed to grow here in Southern California, but some of them do, I guess. There is so much in creation that causes us to pause, that causes us to look at it and say, wow, to feel that awe and that wonder. We talk about wonder because I think wonder is rooted in creation. The text says, snow crown the peaks with splendor, scatter rose petals down the paths, set the hills to dancing. Or as Stephen Hawking says, look up at the stars and not down at your feet. Try to make sense to what you see and wonder about what makes the universe exist. Be curious. Yes, when we talk about wonder, we are going to start with creation. But I want to say, wait, there is more. Wonder is in a whole bunch of other places too, not only in creation. Wonder is also inside of us and between us. St. Augustine puts it this way. He says, many people go abroad to wonder at the heights of the mountains and the huge waves of the sea and the long courses of the rivers and the vast compass of the ocean and the circular motion of the stars, and yet they pass by themselves without wondering. So I want to talk about the wonder of the mind, because I find the mind to be so very interesting. Our human brain, our human mind is so interesting. I was struck by this recently. I was going to a conference. On my way in, I ran into a friend, and she said, oh, it's awful. It's a terrible conference. People have looked over me. They've been mean to me. Everything's been unorganized. It's been a terrible mess. It's a terrible conference. And I was like, oh, okay, right? She's a friend of mine. My brain just went right with the program. I'm like, yeah, it's terrible. It's awful. Walk inside, run into another person. I say, how's it going? Great. This is the best conference I've ever been to. And then my brain's like, wait a second. I had no thoughts. Then I had a lot of negative thoughts. And now I am just really confused. I think that happens to us all, doesn't it? Right? We get swayed by what people say. Our minds just adopt what people put forth as truth. It's pretty easy for it to happen. I think we do it a lot. Our minds are all over the place. A couple weeks ago, I found out about this thing that really intrigued me about the mind. It's called the blue dot effect. This is from a study that was done in 2004 with Daniel Gilbert. He is a Harvard researcher, and they did a series of experiments. In the first experiment, they showed people a bunch of dots of various colors, and they invited them to pick out the blue dots. And people had no trouble identifying the blue dots. But when they took out the blue dots and had less blue dots, people expanded their understanding of what was blue to include also what was purple. Okay? In other words, they were expecting to see blue dots, and gosh darn it, they were going to see blue dots, even if there weren't very many. Then they expanded the study to other than dots. They put in human faces. Some of the faces were threatening faces, and they invited people to pick out the threatening faces. And again, no problem picking out the threatening faces. Then they removed a lot of the threatening faces, and people expanded what they thought were threatening faces. Then they did it with job proposals. And they said, read these job proposals and decide which ones are unethical. And again, people had no trouble identifying which were the unethical job proposals. And then when they took a bunch of them out, people just expanded what they understood to be unethical. So what does all this mean? Well, according to the research, it could be that the human brain doesn't make decisions based on cold, hard rules, but rather on prior stimulus. This tendency extends beyond dots to real-life situations, where people may perceive more threats and insecurities than actually exist. So let me make it a little clearer. When we are expecting to see something, we will likely see it. Our expectations shape how we perceive the world. And here's the kicker. As people, we are naturally wired to be looking for danger and to be a bit pessimistic because historically, that's what's helped the species survive. You have to be looking for danger and be kind of pessimistic and making choices so that you can plan and hunt and mate and build so that the human species might continue. So we're wired to look for trouble. We're wired to look for problems even when there aren't any there. For example, in our world today, we have made great strides with curing diseases and dealing with poverty. But if you ask people if the world is better in those areas today than it used to be, they will say, no, it's not. And you and I will naturally expand what we see as problems because our brain loves to look for trouble. Here's some examples. See if you can relate. In earlier times, you and I would wait 30 minutes for a taxi to show up. Now, if the Uber is 5 minutes late, we lose our minds. Wi-Fi, it is kind of a miracle, isn't it? But if it's slow, you cannot complain fast enough. Snail mail, that was the norm. If you wanted something from somebody, you had to write them a letter, and then you had to wait until they responded back in snail mail. Now, if we send someone an email and we don't get a response in 2 hours, we want to know what is going on. And we used to be content with smaller homes and less material goods. But now, when we have higher standards of living, we feel less satisfied than ever before. So I'd summarize this whole experiment this way. First, the blue dot effect is about how the brain is wired to pick pessimism in a beautiful world. And this is the one that gets me, the better our lives get, the pettier our grievances become. Now, why do I share all this? Because the mind is fascinating. And it is so helpful to think about how our minds work. And when we're aware of this, we can recognize our own shortcomings, our own judgments, our own prejudice. And frankly, we become willing to say, maybe I shouldn't believe as fact everything I think. July is the time when new pastors arrive at their churches, and a friend posted this on our Facebook page for clergy. She said she started a new appointment beginning of July. First Sunday of the new appointment is a communion Sunday. The communion table had a large cross in the middle of the table. When she set the table for communion, she picked the cross up and moved it to the side so that the parishioners could see the bread and the cup when she lifted them up. Later that day, she got an email from a woman who said, I have never seen the church so disrespected in my life, that you would move the cross from its place of prominence. It's very disrespectful, and it's obvious you are a terrible pastor. Right? She made the moving of that cross mean something, and it wasn't necessarily so. Our scripture knows that we need to be willing to think about and reflect on how what we think may not be the best, the most helpful. Second, Philippians calls us to a higher way of thinking. It says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So we are to get past our own ways of thinking and move into the way of thinking that God invites us to have the mind not of us, but to have the mind of Christ. Our minds are a wonder. So, we have the wonder of creation, and we have the wonder of the mind. And the last thing I want to talk about is the wonder of relationships. I love people. Pastor Michelle and I used to always joke about this because I would always say to her, I love all the people. I just love all the people. And she'd go, that one? And I'm like, yes. All the people. I love all the people. Now, here's the thing. We all know people are diverse, right? People believe and think and act and choose and understand all different things. The world is full of such diversity of people, how people live, how people understand, what people value, and yet we're all connected to each other, right? We're colleagues, and we're friends, and we're family, and we're neighbors, and we're spouses, and we're children. And we know each other, but also there's a great mystery to each of us. You know, I have been married to Jeff for 38 years, I think. 38, yeah, okay. And it surprises me every once in a while when he does or says something that I just am like, that is totally a surprise to me. I guess maybe I don't know everything about you, right? I've known him for 2/3 of my life, and yet there's still so much I don't know. And honestly, every once in a while, there's things I learn about myself that I totally didn't know about myself either. God created us to be in relationships. God invites us to grow together, and that's going to be uncomfortable at times. You know, it's like that saying, you can believe that you are enlightened, but go spend Thanksgiving with your family, and you will find out otherwise, right? We often take one another for granted in today's world. We just expect the other person to be there, our friends to be there, our community to be there. How do we as a people become more filled with expectation and wonder and appreciation for one another? Well, I read a couple articles about this. One was called How Wonder Can Help Your Relationship. Oh, and in the app today, the sermon notes have some of these hyperlinks, so you can find out more about these things. So, How Wonder Can Help Your Relationship and the Wideness and Wonder of Relationships, those two articles. So, this is kind of what they said about wonder in relationships. First, approach people with curiosity, not judgment. Remember that even the people you've known forever are filled with mystery too. And it is only when we risk to be truly who we are that we can enter into a relationship with someone else. That we have to be honest with who we are and what we think in order for there to be that connection, that relationship. We were created for relationships, and relationships are wonderful, but they are also challenging. In October, my father passed away, and when I was growing up, we were very close, but then we went through a period of estrangement. And during a particularly difficult season, a friend of mine said something that really helped me a lot. She said, Nicole, it may be that our parents are never who we wanted them to be, but we can decide as adults who we want to be in relationship to them. And that helped me because I thought about who I wanted to be, and it helped me see my dad not through the eyes of a child, but through the eyes of an adult. And I could see him more clearly. And I could see his own brokenness and his own issues. And I could see he was also doing the very best that he could. In the last 20 years of his life, he and I were very close. We spent a lot of time together, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful that we had that season, not just of being father and daughter, but that season of actually sharing life together, even though it was far from perfect. We need each other, which is why, in the midst of our very messy relationships, Scripture provides for us some clear guidance. Ephesians puts it this way. It says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Don't you love that? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. What a way to live. We are made for relationships, and there is much wonder in our human relationships. So let's look now at some wonder practices, because what I would like is for you not just to hear about wonder, but for you to actually practice some of this. Try it out and see how it works in your own life. And the three things I'm going to suggest relate to our three topics. So the first one is take a wonder walk. We heard how important it is to get outside and to be in the beautiful world around us. And so I invite you to take a wonder walk. You don't have to do it every day. Maybe you do it once a week or once a month, or maybe there's a reason you can't get outside, but you could look out a window and enjoy it. However you do it, experience it not only through your eyes, but through your ears, through what you smell, through the breeze you feel, maybe even what you taste. There is so much out there that we just walk on by. Develop a wonder practice around the beauty that is outside. Cultivate wonder that way. Second, use your wonderful mind to think some better things. I think we're often limited in our lives because we think things that just aren't very helpful. We can get stuck in a rut. We can think negative things about ourselves or others over and over again. We can get in a place where we just don't even see possibilities. It's human nature. It happens to all of us. But use your brain to think better things. Now, how do you do that? Well, I've had seasons in my life where I've had to actually put some time aside to practice those things. Because if you put some time aside to worry and stress and to think about when's that other shoe going to fall and how is this going to just go off the rails, if you put 20 minutes aside for that, put 20 minutes aside to think, what if it does work out? What if God is present in this? What if a year from now I have grown and life is better? I invite you to throw caution to the wind and to believe things like, you are enough, just as you are. That God loves you. You don't have to be any different. And that you, by how you live and how you treat people, can make a real difference in the world. These are the kinds of things that we can use our mind to think about, because God has bigger dreams for us, and our mind sometimes needs help in seeing that. The mind is a wonderful thing. Use it to think better things. And number three, be more curious and less judgmental. Don't you just love that guy's face there? I have made that face. I'm sure I have made that face. Be more curious and less judgmental. Decide that you are going to cultivate some wonder in your relationships by asking questions, not just assuming you know. Leave space for people to change and grow. You know how it is when you go to Thanksgiving dinner and there's an aunt there you haven't seen since you were 20 years old and she still treats you like you were 20 years old, even though now you're 60 years old, right? Leave room for people to grow and change. Become willing to see people in a new and fresh way. Give people a fresh start. Don't always drag all the baggage into the current relationship and conversation. So be more curious and less judgmental. Wonder, it's a wonderful way to live. Not only because it opens us up to a bigger life and a healthier life, but I believe that wonder actually opens us up to the presence of God more fully in our lives. So if you want to experience God more in your everyday life, if you want to be more open to God's presence in your everyday existence, cultivate wonder. Cultivating wonder will enable you to know God more fully in your day-to-day life and experience the many things that God has already gifted you with. Life is amazing. Practice wonder, and you will see it more clearly. So, this week, take a wonder walk. Use your mind to think some better things. And cultivate curiosity instead of judgment. And I'm going to guess, if you even try one of those this week, God will feel just that much closer. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful that you invite us to see the world in fresh and new ways. As adults, we often just skip on by the beauty around us, the people around us, even our own selves, but slow us down so we might enjoy the wonder around us. Help us to walk outside and to see what is there. Even if all we can do is look from a window, help us to see the beauty of your creation. Help us to use our minds to think the thoughts you would want us to think. Thoughts that lift us up, that help us live better lives, that help us care for one another more deeply. And help us to be more curious and less judgmental with one another. Help us to ask questions. Help us to give people a fresh slate. Help us to know that in the midst of relationships, forgiveness is always needed. God, we thank you for all that you've already given us and all that we will learn to see that much more clearly this week as we practice wonder. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Start before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light.
And as you speak, a 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars are made to worship so alive, I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star a signifier of grace. The creation sings your praises, so will I.
God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, a syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and silence follow the sound of your voice.
And as you speak, your breath evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals in nature so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. So alive, so alive, so alive. If the stars are made to worship, so the world.